so we can be frank. The introduction, few pages it is mentioned to read from Bhagavad Gita. Who has read that? No? No? Yes?
Indeed.
Only 3 pages.
Where it is mentioned Sanatana Dharma.
The three pages.
But the main point is, if you don't read, we don't get the benefit. If you don't read, we don't get the benefit. So, it's not much point coming here without reading. Yeah. In simple language. So, we have to make sure that you are reading something. It's very clearly given, not much. It's like, how long it takes to read?
15 minutes.
So, nobody can tell, nobody has time for reading 15 minutes. And make some notes and understand. And if it is consistently difficult, then it is better to stop coming. And if you find it's hard to cope with the pace, some people can have, because of so many other commitments, can have difficulties in terms of reading and attending and, you know, assignments, so many things. So if it is difficult, don't come. No problem, I won't ask. Why didn't you come? Why are you stopping? I won't ask those questions. But if you are coming, read properly, prepare and come, so that there is some benefit. Otherwise, it won't be efficient. After studying the whole Bhakti Shastri, pretty much you will be in the same position because you can't remember anything. If you don't put effort, you can't remember. Memory will not come just like that. Especially systematically, if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, and also now we are going in a thematic place, there is a big difficulty because we are jumping between chapters. So today, for instance, we are looking at chapter 3, we are looking at the introduction, little bit we are looking at chapter 18 as well, little bit we have not read, but the whole variety of things are there. Yes, same thing but different sections. So if you don't put effort, it becomes really, really difficult. So my advice is, if it is difficult, then choose the other option, that's exit option. Otherwise, just read and come. It's not difficult. It won't take more than half an hour, or if you can spend half an hour for the future session, that is the session which is upcoming, and spend some time on the previous session, you know, writing like that. Maybe 2 hours a week, at least, minimum requirement. Otherwise, you know, it's just waste of time. So you have to remember that. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Now, before starting, the Sanatana Dharma is starting from the word Dharma we have discussed. You know, we have heard the term dharma. What is meant by sanatan?
Eternal.
Alright. So there are 4 things which are mentioned as sanatana or eternal. What are those? 4 things are mentioned in... Okay, Ishvara, Jiva.
Huh?
We are going in all different directions. No, not from China, not from the section what you have read. Rather it is, I told you, already I throw how we are throwing the stone. And sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. Not like that. What is mentioned? Okay, you can tell one sanatana thing. One eternal. Ishvara, okay, that's fine. Give that mark for this. What is the next?
Jiva.
Okay, Ishvara and Jiva are sanatana or eternal. What is the third that is mentioned in this section? No. Not mentioned from 17 to 9, where we are. Okay, Prabhuji.
Dham.
Exactly. Dham means, what is Dham?
The place where Lord is.
Yeah, the spiritual world where the Supreme Lord is residing. So, we are, the living entities are eternal. Not difficult to understand because we have already covered in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the initial section, that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul which is eternal. Then the Supreme Lord obviously is eternal. And third, the Dham where the Lord is residing, that is eternal. And what is the fourth? Exactly, the occupation. The occupation is eternal as well. So there we are actually touching upon Sanatana Dharma. Now can anyone tell what is Sanatana Dharma means? Simple. Eternal? Eternal occupation of all living entities. Clear? Now Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he claims that he is the Supreme Lord and he is the father of all living entities. Aham, Bija, Prada, Pita. Pita means father. So Krishna is claiming that he is the father and he wants everyone to come back to the eternal abode, Sanatan Dham. And what is the process that takes the living entities to the Sanatan Dham? Yes, it is Krishna consciousness. That is termed as Sanatana Dharma. By performing the eternal occupational duty, one will be elevated to the Sanatan Dham. So we are seeing so many Sanatana, so many eternal. And Srila Ramanujacharya defines what is meant by Sanatan. It's a very exactly that which has no beginning and there is no end. Okay, I think it proves. So there is no beginning and there is no end. That is our eternal occupation. There is no beginning, there is no end. In one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada, he actually started the lecture like this. Beginning, Prabhupada asked, is there anyone who is not a servant? Is there anyone in this lecture hall who are attending who is not a servant? So at the beginning of the lecture, Srila Prabhupada established that everyone is nothing but a servant. The beginning. It's not the end of the, we come to the servant, we consider it a very, very high, it's a very high philosophy. Calling somebody servant, especially in Indian context, it can be humiliating. If you call anywhere, servant, it is considered low class. Naukar, it's a low class, it's considered a servant. And all of you, including me, have come here to become masters. Study masters. We don't want to be a servant. And then we understand we are nothing but servants. So Prabhupada, in the beginning of the lecture, established that, okay, you are just a servant. Because one has to serve something or someone. There's no other option. So that is our position as a servant. And if you consider such a servant, that is the natural position of all living entities. To serve is a natural position. And ultimately, it's not serving anyone, but it is serving Krishna. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera, Surubhoi, Krishnara, Nityadas. Everyone is eternal servant of Krishna. And one cannot change that constitutional position, even if one accepts or not. It's like one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, why only, who are you, how many followers have you got? Or how many people are following this? Something like that, in that line. Prabhupada said, everyone is actually devotee, or how many devotees are there? That was the question, I think. So Srila Prabhupada replied, actually everyone is a devotee. But some people accept, and some people do not. That's all. Everyone is a devotee. So this is the nature of Sanatana Dharma. That everyone is a servant. And is it a sectarian approach? If we say the Sanatana Dharma, is it sectarian?
No.
Why is it not sectarian? Okay, it has no beginning and no end. That's a good point.
I'm just thinking it has no beginning and end. That is the characteristic of soul itself.
Exactly. So it's a natural, it is a innate character. It is the character within. It is there already. Prabhupada gives, what are the nice examples Prabhupada gives regarding the characteristic to establish it is a natural characteristic. Srila Prabhupada gives very, very nice example. Anyone wants to give it a try? What example Prabhupada gives?
Fire.
Fire. What is that?
Fire.
Fire. Fire and? Fire has what property? Heat and light. Because if you remove heat and light, then there is no meaning of fire. Water and?
Sugar.
That is the liquidity, maybe. And?
Sugar.
Sugar and salt. Because sugar is naturally sweet. So this is the characteristic, and we cannot separate those characteristics from the substance. In the same way, the servitorship is the characteristics of all of us, and we cannot separate that from us. That's the reason, in one way or the other way, one is forced to act in a servant mode. Either to someone, or to one's own senses, some or other. One has to act. And people contrary. In this world, in the material world, we always say it's a perverted reflection. It is a perverted reflection. Here everyone says we are masters. Master of house, master of society, this or that, always. But who is the master? Nobody is the master. Even house, if somebody owns the house, is he the real master? He goes because he has to own the house, means he has to pay the mortgage, the bill, so many things. He has to work. Morning he goes, night he comes. And who is the owner? A husband, wife both go, children go to school. Most of the time dog is there at the home. So dog is thinking he is the master. The person is thinking, the owner is thinking I am the master, and the dog is thinking he is the master. So that is material world. So we think in exactly the opposite way. Even though we are servants, we think in the opposite way. So that's the difference. Everyone is servant. And another interesting point is the difference between Sanatana Dharma and religious faith. What is the difference?
Religious faith, you can change the faith. If you don't
like,
you can go to another faith. And
correct.
Believe in.
Yes. Sometimes you get nice perks if you change your faith. You know, money is, you know, conversion, as part of conversion, people are paid. Sometimes job, sometimes, you know, the nice house, sometimes overseas employment. So many things are there. So you can change the religious faith. At the same time, one cannot change the eternal constitutional position. That we cannot change because it is there. How can you change? So this is a key difference. So now we are getting to, this is Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of living entity. From there we can see, was there anything to read in the fourth chapter for you? No. So, but I had to, I'll discuss few points from fourth chapter because it is in connection to it. That is, we had to see, the Lord actually appears in this world to establish Dharma. There is a famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yadahi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhidhanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyam. So Krishna is telling, he comes millennium after millennium to establish, re-establish the Dharma. So there is, the Dharma is there, we understand there is the eternal principles are there, and which is the eternal duty of all the living entities. And when that is going down, then Krishna personally appears as incarnation. The Lord himself descends to the material world. So what is an incarnation? So in that regard, Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentioned the word Srijami. Srijamyaham. That is the last phrase of the verse. So Prabhupada says Srijami is not a creation. Our body is a kind of creation. You know, it was in there, so then the different material elements are mixed together and the body is created. And it is transformed. And it's going back to, ultimately it is integrating to different material elements. Is it correct? So there is a kind of creation, there is a transformation, and then there is annihilation. However, when the Lord uses the term Srijami, it is not about that kind of creation. Rather, it is manifestation. It is there already. The avatar means the Supreme Lord is present in his spiritual body, in his eternal abode. And when he is coming down, then we call it avatar. Did Krishna incarnate? Krishna has avatar? Yes, Krishna came to the material world, so we call Krishna his avatar. Krishna is avatar. At the same time, he is not just avatar. Ultimately, he is avatari. He is the source of all incarnations as well. So simultaneously, he is an avatar, yes, because he came to the material world. He manifested himself in the material world. So we call him an avatar. Yes, he is an avatar. But since he is the source of all manifestations, so he is avatari. He is the source.
So what is the English word for avatari?
Avatari. The Bhagavatam says Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So maybe you can use that sentence. I don't know the word. So the English may not have that word to describe avatari. But Krishna is the source of all incarnations. That is the third chapter. Yeah, second is divine and divinity. So third chapter. Yeah, third chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto. Yes. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So that is avatari. That's my understanding. Because there is no exact word even for avatar in English. But incarnate, because carnate is from the word flesh, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not an exact translation. So it's just a word which are close by, it's being used. That's all. So avatari, there may not be any word as such. I don't know. We may have such. Yeah. Or incarnator. I don't know if it's correct English, but I haven't seen such a word. But following the same line, yeah. And this incarnation, it is not like anyone can be an incarnation, as many people are claiming. You know, so many incarnations are, you know, if you go to many parts of India, many parts of the world, there are many incarnations. But that's not really incarnation. If somebody has to be, someone has to be incarnation, it has to be stated in the scriptures. Otherwise, it is not considered incarnation. It has to be specifically mentioned in the scripture. Otherwise, it is not. South India, there is one incarnation. many are. There are many incarnations. One is because I was went to India, then I was seeing this Bhagavan, Kalki. Kalki was already premature appearance of Kalki. So Kalki is supposed to come many, many thousands of years later, but premature appearance of Kalki. And people are worshipping Paduka. You know Paduka? Paduka means the shoes. So every house, many houses actually, it is surprising how people are being, you know, carried away by these things. People are, so many people are worshipping. When do you have a house? Immediately, yeah, this is our altar, okay, because I am coming in this dress, so immediately I come to the altar. So this is the photo, big photo is there. And they call Amma Bhagavan. Lakshmi is also there, the wife is also there. So both are there, you know, the old person, you know, big sari, the wife has been a big silk, you know, the red sari, and you know, the people are there, and the big Paduga is there. I mean, full worship is going on. And my sister went there for one of their bhajans, and they told, if you sincerely pray touching the, you know, touching the Paduga, then the Paduga will automatically move. And she said she touched and started praying, but Paduga was not moving. But she tried hard, still Paduga was not moving. Then she said, then she thought, okay, what will people think? She said, I pushed with my finger, then Paduga moved. She told me, I pushed my finger, then Paduga moved. Till then Paduga didn't move.
Other thing before she cried, she had an intention that it should move. It doesn't move.
It doesn't move.
She didn't have an intention to move.
Yeah. So there is a purpose for incarnation, not the so-called incarnation, but the real incarnation. There is purpose. The so-called incarnation, there can be ulterior motives, not the real motives, ulterior motives. So it is said, the dharmam, it is already given by, it's established by Krishna himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Bhagavat pranitam means established by Krishna himself. It's not, dharmam is not what I say or what anybody else can say. Rather, it is established by Krishna himself. Even in the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma, when he was sprouted, you know, he was coming from the lotus flower, Krishna himself gave the dharmam, the actual religious principle, to his heart, initiated him with the right transcendental knowledge. So that is, we can see in the beginning, it's actually established by Krishna himself. Now, why he comes and what is his mission? Anyone has any clue? Why he comes? Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkritam dharma nathaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Oh, very good. Everyone knows this verse. By the mercy of the Vat Chopra, V.R. Chopra. Okay, from Indian background, everyone knows this verse because year after year, they have seen the serial, Mahabharata serial. So this is one of the title songs. So everyone knows the verse. Okay, yeah, poor. So we're singing and everyone, okay, that's good, at least you know the verse. Without much effort. So what is the, why he comes, what is the reason? Annihilate the miscreant and deliver the pious and to re-establish the religious principles, dharma. So that's the reason the Lord appears in this world. Now, it's a very interesting question. The Lord, why really he has to come here? He has to take really pain to come here to kill all these miscreants? That is an interesting question. Because, you know, tsunami is there, Katrina is there, and you know, heart attack is there, stroke is there, you know, so many different kinds of possibilities are there to, you know, annihilate the miscreant. And there is so many wards are there.
Is there big?
Big. How many? How much are big? Even Hiranyakashipu, he also has got a heart. He has got all. Everyone has, you know, material body means they have. Not everyone is in subtle. Somebody can be in the subtle body. Some practitioners can be in the subtle sense. But everyone has a material body, and material body has to collapse at one point. Krishna can make the arrangement. It's not difficult, actually. So,
when Ram came to Ravana,
yeah.
when they were born, Ravana and Ram is caught in the because of his activities, because of his activities, it made Ravana. No one can kill Ravana. But so Rama came and killed him. He is a very powerful demon.
Hmm.
Ramayana, that Yamaraj had the power to kill him, but Lord Brahma appeared before Yamaraj and said, look, if you do this, then my benediction will be broken.
Yeah.
And if my benediction is broken, then the whole fabric of the universe will collapse. So therefore, I mean, you could kill him, but you just destroy the universe in the process, so please don't do it. And Lord Brahma will come along and do it later on. So it's not that others did not have the power to do it.
Yes, you wanted to say something? What is it?
I was reading Bhagavatam today.
Yeah.
And it said there was this person called Kartavirya Arjuna.
Ah, Kartavirya Arjuna, yeah.
And he said he was captured.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Kartavirya Arjuna kill him?
Yeah, Kartavirya Arjuna could capture Ravana so easily, is it right?
Yes.
Yeah, he could
yes.
So easily.
Why couldn't he?
It's a good point, yeah, it's a good point. Kartavirya Arjuna, he could. How many arms he had?
1,000
arms. And Ravana, how many hands?
20.
10 heads and how many hands?
20
hands. Okay. Only two arms. Only ten heads and two hands. He may have some mystic powers, but two hands. Okay? So even it's a very good point. Kartavirya Arjuna, he had 1,000 arms. And at one point he captured Ravana, and Ravana could do nothing. Yes,
even Bali also.
So you know, Ravana is not that great. We can respect, but not that great.
But if Hiranyakashipu is dying of a heart attack, does it break Brahma's bones?
I don't know. That's not a point. I don't know. Let's see.
He died inside. He's going to be dying exactly on the threshold.
Yeah.
Or he could be outside or he could be inside. Then he
dies. He dies, okay. Okay, so Prabhupada discusses why then the Lord has to appear.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in Kunti Devi's prayers, Kunti Devi is telling in the 8th chapter of first canto of Bhagavatam, that is the Vidambanam, the word uses is Vidambanam. I read that lecture by Srila Prabhupada. It's very interesting. Prabhupada is saying, now the Lord comes to deliver the devotees, but it is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee transcends the material qualities. Sagunan samadhi tetan. Okay? A devotee is in transcendental position because he is no longer under the control of three material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. But if a sadhu is already delivered, being on the transcendental platform, then where is the necessity of delivering him? So on one level we understood there is no point in coming to kill the demon. He can do so many things. By his wish he can kill the demon. Is it possible with Hiranyakashipu? Just by willing he can kill Hiranyakashipu. He doesn't have to come personally. And if it is paritranaya sadhu, if it is delivering the sadhu is already delivered. Pure devotees are already delivered because they are beyond the three modes of material nature. Then Prabhupada is asking, then what's the whole point? The Lord coming here. So then Prabhupada continues, this question may arise. The Lord comes to deliver the devotee, but the devotee is already delivered. Therefore the word vidambanam, meaning bewildering, is used in this verse. Because this appears contradictory. So, Vidambanam is the word used in the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi is telling. The answer to this contradiction is that a sadhu, a devotee, does not require deliverance, but because he is very much anxious to see the Lord, Supreme Lord, face to face, Krishna comes not to deliver him from the clutches of matter from which he has already been delivered, but to satisfy his inner desire. So actually it is to satisfy the devotee's inner desire and to show himself before the devotee, the Lord appears. That is the only reason. Others are just secondary, not the primary. He does all the other activities, but is secondary. So we understood what is Sanatana Dharma, and we understand the Lord is appearing in this world to establish Sanatana Dharma. He does that. Even though he is coming to give face-to-face association to his devotees, he establishes, re-establishes Dharma. Then, today's one key point is, still, this Krishna consciousness is transcendental to? Yes, it is transcendental to Varnashram. Because Varnashram is material and Krishna consciousness is transcendental, so it is superior. The one very good reference to this is given in the 5th verse of the 3rd chapter. Which verses you had read? So what is a good reference to this? Krishna consciousness is transcendental.
Without which everything is considered to be
failing. Is there any other reference?
Yeah.
In the 5th chapter. Yeah, that is a very good reference. Exactly, that's what I was looking for. What does that say? Yeah, what does that mean?
If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the Krishna duties,
okay. Yeah, that's the point. That is, tektva means giving up. Who is telling this? You know anyone? Who is telling this? Anyone know? Who is telling this verse? Narada Muni. Narada Muni is telling tektva swadharma. Even if one gives up, one swadharma. And there, what is that swadharma referring to? Yeah, there Varnashram duties. Okay, if one is supposed to act in a particular way according to Varna and Ashram, still if one gives up that and Sadharmam Charanambujam Hare. Charanambujam is the lotus feet of Krishna. If one actually surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, even giving up his material duties, then what will happen? Is it a sin?
No.
Then?
There is no loss.
There is no loss, that's right. There's no loss. Yes, bro.
In other words, it's saying that doing swadharma is better than doing paradharma.
Yeah.
Then,
Saranadharma
Parityagam. How is that? Like, someone is in the modes, who caught up in modes, if he tries to directly get surrendered to the lotus feet, then he's doing that again.
Okay, I think I had to read this verse. Okay, that is referring to this translation. It's very interesting. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the Shastras or execute the devotional service properly, can you see? Okay. Even if bhajan apakko, even one doesn't follow, do the devotional service to the greatest degree. Okay, we have the devotional standard. Even one is unable to follow the devotional service up to the mark, still, what is written? And even though he may fall down from the standard, okay, it's very clearly mentioned. Even if he is coming to Krishna consciousness, unable to follow all the standards up to the mark, still what is Narada Muni saying? There is no loss or evil for him. Is it true? Can we accept this point from whatever we have studied so far? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why? What is the reference?
There is no loss.
There is? Tell me, which verse?
Neha
Vikarana Chasi. There is no loss because he is performing devotional service. May not be at the highest standard, still he is doing devotional service. So there is no loss. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So even if somebody is following just Varnashram Dharma without Krishna consciousness, then what's the use? There is no tangible result. There is no permanent result. It's not possible because only Krishna consciousness can give permanent result. So this actually shows the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. Now, in today's discussion, we are not denying Varnashram Dharma. We have already studied Varnashram Dharma. We are telling about the Sanatana Dharma now. But at the same time, we will see the connection. How one can support the other. That we will see today. So it's not that we are denying the Swadharma in the sense of Varnashram Dharma. And what was the question Prabhuji asked? What was that?
If one is not fully if he is not fully into Krishna consciousness, serving unto God, Krishna, then if he tries to leave his Swadharma and tries to just follow, then again he has a chance to fall down.
Yeah, there is a chance. That's what Narada Muni is also saying. There is a chance to fall down. But there is no loss.
Mm.
There is no loss. Because the credit of devotional service is permanent. It's permanent. Okay, so this is one point, very, very strong point from we can reference PG 3.5. Translation of this, it's a very strong point that actually shows the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. What's the next? What is the next, which actually shows the transcendental nature of
35?
There is something before that. Yes, there is something in 35. Before that, there is something.
326.
It's 3.5. 3.5, yeah.
3.26.
3.26, yeah. 3.26. What is the point in 3.26? What is there in 3.26?
This is the man.
Let others do their duty, they won't disturb their duty. By action, just show them like how you can use the results.
No, that's not the point in 3.26. No.
Slightly
better. An ignorant person to ask.
Okay, where is 3.26? You are not getting. Okay, I haven't found it wrong, but you haven't given me the answer. It is there.
A person shouldn't be ignorant and stop doing.
No, that's not the answer. What are we discussing now? Okay, Krishna consciousness transcendental to Varnashram. Okay. Yes, tell me, Manas Prabhu.
Is it a regulation of the sense gratification and dedicating all the world?
No.
It's the second last line.
Okay, what is the second last line?
For this fortunate man, there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals because by direct Krishna consciousness, one can have all the results one would.
Okay. Yes, that's a good point. Before that, in that verse, there is a very, very important point. No, nobody is hitting. Exactly, the purpose of what? That is the beginning. That is the beginning of the purport. Vedeshya Sarvet, Ahameva Vedyam. That is the beginning of the purport. What is the meaning of Vedeshya Sarvet, Ahameva Vedyam? Yes, exactly, the essence of Veda is to understand Krishna. So, the whole Veda is giving all the Varna and Ashram, the different duties, different purificatory process, everything. But ultimately, what is the purpose? If there is no Krishna, then it is not coming to the right conclusion. Can we write that? Yes?
Yeah.
26. Prabhupada explains this very nicely. 326 per hour. It's not actually referring to the verse, even Texasaram is not from BG, but it is coming in the purport. So we are quoting there. So there is no point in doing all the yagyas, you know, so many things in the fire, saswaha, so many swaha, without Krishna. It's not coming to the right conclusion. Big fire. And I have seen, you know, there are different yagyas which goes on for 7 days, 8 days, 21 days, 30 days. Big sacrifice, the kunda, you know, the kunda means where the whole park, where the fire is there, that is almost the size of this room. That big. Then, like, you know, Satya Sredari or something, you know, the whole fire, big fire sacrifice, it's still it's running. And people go on. Like that for every year they do this kind of thing. And so much of months of preparation to do this kind of area, months of preparation. And at the end, are they coming to the right conclusion? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to serve Krishna? No. Only burning, so many things are burned. There is no right conclusion. So that's the reason Prabhupada is telling. Ultimately all the Varna and Ashram, everything, whatever rituals, so everything should come to the conclusion that ultimately we have to know Krishna. Otherwise it is useless waste of time. So this actually shows Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all the rituals and all the externals. Third. What's the third point? End of 326, that is a good point. Such a transcendental person actually. Such a fortunate person. What is that? Such a end of
356. For this fortunate man there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals. Because by direct Krishna consciousness one can have all the results one would otherwise derive from following one's prescribed rituals.
Yeah. Is again coming in 326?
Such a fortunate person.
Yes, okay. Because they are coming to. Actually, it's interesting. The same point is mentioned in another verse in second chapter as well.
2.40.
2? 2.40. 40 is then there is one more.
In which Bhagavatam you have quoted
246 is actually the verse itself is telling 246. Texasodharma is quoted in many places. Anyway, this 246, the text itself is directly pointing to the same point. That is, Krishna consciousness is superior. Because if you understand the actual purpose of Vedas, then there is no point in going to the different ritualistic activities, different swahas, not the essence. But one can stand there, Krishna. Beat is there.
That is also
mentioned. That is also
mentioned, four or five times.
Chant Hare Krishna four or five times, yeah, that's right. In a good point. In 246, the actual yagya is?
What do you know of Shukri?
Hare Krishna. So now, what's the next? Which point, how can we support the statement? What is the next reference?
3.3.
What's the next one?
If you haven't read, pretty much you are not in this world. You are in some other world.
3.3.
Maybe we will learn a little bit. If you haven't read what you are supposed to read.
Yes, know your prescribed.
All other
duties are not imitate other person's duties. Is that supporting the Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram?
No, police duties.
My question is Krishna consciousness transcendental to Varnashram. So, give me a point which is supporting that.
He can perform anything in it.
everything under the direction of.
Oh, very good point. And which merge it is coming in?
It's 3.35.
Yeah, 3.35 part 4 it is coming. It's a very good point. So I have actually copied that one. When one transcends the mode of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master.
So he can change.
Yeah, that's the next point. Even a Brahmana can act as a Kshatriya, maybe a Kshatriya by nature can act as a Brahmana. Doesn't matter because it's already on the transcendental platform. Parashuram is an example is given here.
I think Vishwamitra is fall. There is a fall down of Vishwamitra, you know.
And again,
if you take an example of this Parshuram in this, Parshuram again, if there is like kind of fall down when he is challenging Lord Rama.
Who is Parshuram, by the way?
He's the
He's a Lord. But we cannot say just said a fall down.
But in his Bhagavatam it is said when he challenged the Lord Rama, after that Lord Rama took all his power and send him to one mountain, he gave him a punishment.
Still Parashuram is on which platform? Still is trans, you know, still is a devotee. Can you say, or he's a lord? At least, you know, he's a lord still.
Yeah.
Is it correct? Even Balaram had disagreement with Krishna.
Mm.
Is it correct? You know, in case of marriage of whom?
Yeah,
there was a disagreement. Can we deny Balaram? Is Balaram affected by the modes of material nature?
No.
No. So, you know, this is pastime. We have to understand it that sense. So that is the reason Srila Prabhupada is actually quoting this example, especially Parashuram.
But when we take an example of, Vishwamitra Prabhu. Can't I quote this example in like if you are just neglecting your own prescribed duties as a Brahmana and as a Kshatriya and you are pretending to be a Brahmana, then there is a case of fall down like in case of Vishwamitra. I can put this example in that way also.
Yeah, but it has to be the order of the spiritual master. It has to be.
We quote Vishwamitra example, for instance, in terms of his meditation technique. We usually consider him as a yogi because it's a kind of a yogic process that he adopted. And then we say, okay, one can fall down in that process. But at the same time, Haridas Thakur, we give the counter example of a devotee who doesn't fall down by that process, yeah?
The fall down is there, but in Varnashram Dhamma, but not in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is transparent to Varnashram. If you say in Varnashram Dhamma, there is fall down. And Vishwamitra example, it comes under Varnashram Dhamma, not in Krishna consciousness.
But here it is supporting the Krishna consciousness.
Usually the point there it is. Even in Krishna consciousness there is fall down because one can practice and one can stop practicing. So there is a possibility of fall down even in Krishna consciousness. We cannot deny that fact. Is it like, so, but there is no loss because whatever he has gained, he has gained. So in that sense there is no loss, but fall down is there. You know, if somebody is standing now, tomorrow is not standing. Somebody is coming to temple and living, following everything and tomorrow not seen. In one sense it's a fall down. It is a fall down. I cannot say there is no fall down. There is fall down. Yeah.
I think I am not able to explain my question properly.
Regarding Vishwamitra, he was practicing meditation. That was for a material purpose. He was not doing it for.
My only concern is like, Prabhupada is quoting this example here in support of Krishna consciousness to be the superior. And till now, whenever I had heard this Vishwamitra example, I always heard it maybe in a yogi or maybe in a Varnashram system that if you leave your particular prescribed duties, you try to
imitate other, you will fall down. Because in a negative sense, we
that fall down is because of the process he adopted. We usually give the example that it's not because he acted as a Brahmin so he fell down. No, he adopted the process. In that meditation process, he was actually kind of Dhyan Yoga, pretty much 6 steps of Bhagavad Gita, Dhyan Yoga. And Ashtanga, we're going to a forest in a secluded place where you are sitting, performing austerities, where he couldn't actually achieve perfection through that. At the same time, his life was not finished by then. Okay, he stopped the process. Then what happened? Who was born from Menaka?
Bharata.
Shakuntala was born. And then what happened? When Shakuntala, when Menaka showed Shakuntala, yeah, this is your daughter, you see the nice face. When what is Vishwamitra, there is a photo I have seen in India. Then Vishwamitra is, you know, showing, you know, like this, you know, I don't want to even see that. I don't want to see my kid. Yeah, he's showing, I don't want to even see. So he actually understood, you know, his objective was different. So he actually went back to his state of being a Brahmana. So we cannot, you know, there was a fall down. But at the same time, we cannot say that was the end of it. So he came back to his transcendental position.
And then rumbled.
Then again, he continued his spiritual pursuit. So I don't see him as, you know, such a, you know, he fell down and the chapter is closed. This is like, you know, this is like in the end of the cinema, we are saying, you know, they lived ever after happily. No, it's not like that. Actually, the process is continuing. So Vishwamitra's case also, the process is continuing. So he continued. So.
This is another point maybe.
Yeah.
Probably have the problem. Everyone has to cleanse their heart gradually, not abruptly.
Yeah.
But we might think of doing something completely different because we think of transcendental life.
Yeah. Actually, this point we'll discuss, you know, this exactly coming upon that point, we'll actually discuss today. Anyone else? Anything? Yeah? I can't remember now.
Is he one of the seven sages?
No, Vishwamitra is not one of the seven. To my understanding. It's not one of the same things. Okay. I don't know. Whether you went back home or... No. I can't remember at least now. Somebody can refer and let him know, or let me know as well.
That was written in Bhagavatam.
What is written?
Yeah, you know the one, he became one of the seven sages. It was written in Bhagavatam.
Okay, that's good. But in the current list of seven sages, is Vishwamitra's name is there? No.
No, it was. I read it right now, like before the class.
He became or he is now? You know, the seventh age changes.
Yes.
You understand what I'm trying to say? When the current list is Vishwamitra that I haven't seen.
There is a current list?
Yeah, there's a current list of seventh
ages.
Position is now, it's already occupied. In the future list, you may be. It's like, you know, future Brahma, future Vyasadeva, future seventh ages. That is there. But currently, Vishwamitra is there? I doubt. I'm not very sure about that. You know, after my understanding, Atri, Angira, Pulaha, Pulasya, Agasya, two more, I can't remember all the names.
If Atri is in there, Atri was included in the list also.
In the list also. Okay, that's interesting. We'll have a look later. I don't know. Okay, now, who is the, after that, what is the biggest support that actually shows Krishna consciousness transcends into Varnashram? What is the next reference? Which is the most famous reference? I don't know whether it's in your reading list or not, but in generally, how can you say, where Krishna says, don't worry about Varnashram, you come to me. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham sarva bhavasyam mokshayishyami mahasya. Everyone knows the verse? Or is it like, you know, starting point, everyone is in front of the verse, the number of people are reducing. Okay.
Okay.
So there Krishna very clearly saying you can renounce. Krishna actually taught we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. Krishna taught sense control, Krishna taught mind control, Krishna taught all the different yoga systems. He established bhakti as a superior, then he taught all bhakti yoga, and he taught jnana, he talked about the different modes of material nature, and after teaching everything, Krishna is telling, you give up everything and you just surrender unto me. So which clearly indicates, which clearly shows that Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram, because Krishna is telling Sarvadharman Paridhyaya, give up all the slave duties, all the dharma, other dharma, religiosity, and surrender unto me. And Krishna can deliver, he can. This is actually very his proof.
We are talking about the father of the
good element in what Prabhu is telling. The point is, Prabhu has very clearly mentioned that the Patanjali's yoga system, it's not an atheistic yoga system. It's theistic. Prabhu has very clearly means. Patanjali is the yoga, Hatha yoga, the Ashtanga yoga system. It's not an atheistic yoga system. Even Patanjali, he established ultimately one has to come to Vishnu. He mentioned that one has to, ultimately one has to come to Vishnu. So the Paramatma part, he's not denying God. He's not denying God. So it's a good point. Okay. Whatever he was following in it. It's just a conscious process. Maybe of a doctor. It's not a material process.
Can you just respond to
Krishna? Yeah.
Like we are discussing Krishna consciousness transcendental Varnashram system.
Yeah.
And in Keshav Prabhu's, like one of the morning Bhagavatam class, Keshav Prabhu just gave like, He was asking a question from his guru. Somebody is asking a question from his guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
And his guru Maharaj answered the main reason of fall down in Krishna conscious life is because of two reasons. And one of that reason is that a person is not properly situated in his ashram.
Ashram, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Then, what is the next?
So, now a brahmachari.
Yeah.
Or a grastha may be falling down, and if we say like he is not properly situated in ashrama, so how can we?
Okay, yeah, we will see that today. So your question is, what is the connection between Varnashram and Krishna consciousness? But it doesn't deny, even if we want part down, that's different. Still, we cannot say Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram. Does it contradict your point? Does it contradict this point?
No,
it doesn't.
Yes,
okay, we will discuss that later then. It doesn't contradict. What you are saying is not contradicting this point.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now your question is more leading to the next discussion, because you want to know the connection between these two. Is it correct?
Mm-hmm.
That you are leading to the connection. That's what we are going to discuss next. So no problem. Alright, so next we will discuss something like the results of both. What is the result of Varnashram and what is the result of Sanatana Dharma? Okay, so we will
start with that. Just an occupation of the scripture.
Decent handwriting. You can write Varnashram, here Varnashram, and here Sanatana. Here Sanatana, here Varnashram.
V-A-R.
Alright, you can start thinking. What are the results of... Okay, let's see. Here there is one group, big group here. And there is one more group here. So this, you are Varnashram group. And you are Sanatana Dharma group. Alright? So you had to tell what are the results of Varnashram. And what are the results of Sanatana Dharma. Or the Siddhi Krishna consciousness. Okay, you can start.
Heavenly planets.
One each, okay.
Heavenly planets.
Heavenly
planet.
That is Varnashram Dharma. You can go to heavenly planet. Okay, here. Varnashram
planet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a
transcendent
elevates one to a higher status of life.
Oh, very good point. Probably without forgetting, we can remember. Like buffer it and then put it there.
Elevate one to a higher status of life.
Yeah, very good point. One is Krishna's planet, so that is a good point. I like that.
Krishna.
Right.
Okay, now Sanatana Dharma group. Anything, any, what is the Krishna plan?
Elevate one from Shraddha to Prema Bhakti.
Eh?
Love of God.
Highest status of life. That is enough. That is a spiritual planet that will do that for that. It's pretty much.
Revival of the
constitutional position. Revival of the constitutional position. Okay, that's good.
Revival
of okay. Okay, that's a good point. Stepping stone to Krishna consciousness. That is for Varnashram Dharma.
Safety net.
Okay.
What was the previous one?
Can Krishna consciousness elevate to Krishna? Okay. No, my question is, what are the results? Yeah, that is pretty much covered in, pretty close to this, to be a higher status of life. We can be bracketing and all that to come to goodness. One can be elevated to goodness.
To goodness. Safety net.
Yeah? Is that the result of Varnashram?
Yes.
Why, if one somebody falls down, then he can cancel. Okay. Like coma, stepping stone and coma safety net, you can write. Coma safety net.
Transmitted to the modes.
Which one? The result.
Eternal happiness,
that's good. Eternal happiness for Sanatana Dharma.
Liberation.
Liberation is included. It's only a subsidiary. How about the, okay, now, here is the eternal happiness. So, what do you guys say? You have to say anything about Varnashram?
Recurring happiness.
Temporary happiness. Eternal happiness is temporary happiness or temporary satisfaction. Temporary results. Everything's free from sinful life. Yeah, gradually getting there. Is it completely free from all sinful reaction? That's a good point. That is a good point for Sanatana Dharma. That's a valid point. That is a, yeah, free from any sinful, any reaction actually. Not just sinful. Free from reaction. Sanatana Dharma.
One is following Sanatana Dharma and result will be that he will be transcendental to the modes. That will be the result of this.
That means?
He will be transcendental to the modes.
Modes of material nature.
Oh, one can become transcendental to the modes of material nature. Yeah, one can become. Yeah, that's true. Correct. We can write, one can become transcendental to material modes.
Once you
one can become
a change. Is it part of leading to Krishna's planet only?
Yes. That's right, it can pretty much go to the pretty close, yeah. 3 months ago.
Love of water contains
earth. Yeah,
very
strange. Change is awesome. Transcendental
mods, okay, written. One can become a demigod.
That is already written. Heavenly planet is already written.
Brahma.
Then what happens? After becoming a demigod, then what happens?
Four.
Fall down. Yeah, that is also the self. It's part of it actually. Yeah, one has to come back. That is temporary happiness.
Easy journey to come back.
Temporary.
Yeah, well, do anyone know the reference? Bhagavad Gita, where it is written, devil's question. Where it is written, one will fall down after going to the heavenly planet.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3 is written. Falling down fast.
As in a
purport. But verse anyone knows? Anyone? No? Shinai Punya Matilagam Vishnu. So when the credit is finished, when does it come back? 9.3. And also, one result is anyway, no sinful reaction, there is no loss. That is, one has to perform 100%. Here, one has to perform material action pretty much 100%. And this is. Wait, 100%. This is how much we had to do. Whatever we do, we get the permanent result. That's pretty much coming in eternal happiness, permanent result.
Okay. Can they change the varna there and here? You know, in Santana Dharma.
Swadharma.
He can change his varna.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
There.
But that's not the result. It's a process against it. Yeah. That's a good point. The process and the result are one and the same. Bhakti is the process and bhakti is the end. Yeah, we can write here, but that's not the result as such. It's not the result as such. It's fine. The result is pretty looking good. So it's clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you understand the difference between Varnashram and Sanatan Dharma?
21.
It's 21, yeah. Now there is actually the interaction, the connection between these two. Thank you, Prabhu. We need to have a few groups. How many groups are there, naturally?
Seven
are there. I don't mind having seven groups. So first question was, I think, pretty straightforward, I think. Is it right?
Mm-hmm.
Under what circumstances one should follow Varnashram Dharma? So where do we fall? Do we have to follow?
No.
It's
already
in
course. Like, we got the
nature. What do you mean by? Do we have to follow Varnashram Dharma or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But if no means you are already beyond?
Material.
Oh, completely beyond modes of material nature. You can see that, especially in the second chapter, verse 14:6 purport, you can see the example of who? Madhavendra?
Puri.
What is Madhavendra Puri telling?
I don't know.
He's telling, I don't have no time. We also don't have no time, because we are also busy, because we are busy out of laziness or some other things are important. But Madhavendra Puri is telling, he doesn't have time to follow any of the duties of Varnashram Dharma. He's telling, I don't have time for chanting Gayatri, no time to worship the Pitras, the forefathers, no time to worship the demigods. I don't have time for any of these things. Why? There is a reason. What is the reason Madhavendra Puri tells? You want to check exactly what he's saying? Very interesting. Very interesting. 246 purport.
Okay.
Just to show the contrast, just to show the difference.
Look at Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to say to me.
Why are you asking about surrender to me?
Prakash.
Of course.
Yeah. Is it the same verse?
So
verse is different. Verse is different. Like
252 purport, not
242.
Alright. 252? Coming? Yeah, that's coming in 246?
No.
Okay, so 252. It's a wrong word. That's alright. No, it's not 252.
Yeah.
252. So what's the reason Madhavendra Puri is telling?
I can remember the great incident of Yasodhara.
He's constantly remembering.
Oh yeah, because he has come to the platform where he's always thinking about
Krishna.
Are we on that platform? No, so better follow some, you know, duties in Varnashram Dharma. Yes, Prabhu.
Said in Prabhupada's purpose, now you cannot again introduce the system of Varnashrama. So at present moment, there is no possibility of persons following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Either here or anywhere. Everyone is Varnasankara. It is not possible. But if one takes the Krishna consciousness, automatically it becomes immediately a Brahman.
Okay.
Just by doing the devotion.
Yes, that is a good point. Still, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma not to the fullest, but at least to a greater degree. We discussed the Varnashram conversation of Prabhupada in the lesson 3. You remember? So Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma. So there is a reason behind that. And that reason is that we are actually seeing under what circumstances following Varnashram Dharma is necessary. Because we are within the mode. Suppose if somebody is a brahmachari or somebody is a grihastha and the ashram situation is not good, then what will happen? Will you be able to focus on Krishna? Even if somebody loses jobs, then we can see how much, you know, turbulence one is going through. Not only in the material life, even in Krishna consciousness. Is it correct? Is it correct?
Yes.
Anyone can relate to it. So even once our ashram situation has to be proper to follow for Krishna consciousness, because we are not yet transcendental to modes of material nature. If we are, then it's fine. That is Madhavendra. He is telling he doesn't have time to think anything other than Krishna all the time. Then it is fine. And if we are not there, then we have to follow Varnashram. And this is, I think, is quite straightforward. And there are many references. Many things. A Brahmana should act as a Brahmana and not imitate the duties of a Kshatriya and vice versa. Everyone has to transcend his heart by the gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. So that is possible. But otherwise, no. Then the most, a little bit more difficult part is, what are the qualifications required for beginning practice of Krishna consciousness? Not to come to the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, but to begin Krishna consciousness. Yeah, faith is a good answer. But from purport, I'll read a very, very good answer. Prabhupada says, for beginning of Krishna consciousness, there is no need of Vedic formulas, but direct engagement in Krishna service. Which purport you refer? Yeah, towards in one of the purports. Okay. So beginning, there is no need of Varnashram Dharma as such to for begin Krishna consciousness. Because it is in one, you know, it is transcendental, we can see. But to be established in Krishna consciousness, one needs the support of Varnashram Dharma. But to begin to chant Hare Krishna or to hear Hare Krishna or, you know, little bit chant, one needs to follow Varnashram Dharma. But if one has to come to sadhana platform and to be established, then of course one needs some support. That will be the discussion for next class. Next class we are discussing on how Varnashram Dharma
support
to Krishna consciousness. So that will be discussed in the next class. So that we will see how it is supporting Krishna consciousness. So there is a connection, because we are in the modes of material nature. So we are conditioned in so many different ways and we have so many different conditioning. If you list, it will be too many. So in that situation, how can we focus on Krishna consciousness? If you want to know, we have to know how Varnashram Dharma as such is supporting Krishna consciousness. But otherwise, to start with, we don't need any particular qualifications from Varnashram Dharma. Otherwise, most of us are not qualified to start Krishna consciousness. Then of course the faith element is there. So this point will be further. This actually to show that Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma, because to begin Krishna consciousness, we didn't have, you know, no background is required. We had any background? I don't know. How much Varnashram Dharma I followed before? I can't claim much. I don't know about you, how much Varnashram Dharma you were into. Prabhu was mentioning everyone is Shudra or, you know, Kalava Shudra somehow, everyone is Shudra or even less than whatever, or less than Shudra, then where is Varnashram Dharma really coming into picture? Shudra is a high qualification. To some degree. Yeah, because they used to follow regulative principle to a greater degree. So, to a greater degree at least. So, now people, are they following Sutra Sadhana? No, it's not there. So can we say need a God? So this shows clearly that Krishna consciousness is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma, but at the same time we need support from Varnashram Dharma. So that will be the discussion of next, and that will be the end of the unit one. So next class, next week we don't have a class because many are going to the retreat, or at least I am going to the retreat. Who is going to the retreat?